Some days call for some oomph to amplify your everyday look, like when you want the look of false lashes without the extra effort. Reach for Thrive Cosmetics Liquid Lash Volumizer Mascara. Or when you want all eyes on your smile, keep Empower Gloss Ultra Glossy Lip Serum in your bag. It's a burst of 24-hour hydration that smooths like a serum, shines like a gloss, and can be worn sheer or layered. You'll also look and feel your best with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin, not against it. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about too. Amplify your everyday. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/shine26 for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/shine26.
Paul said, if I preach to everybody, but then I myself become shipwrecked, what good is it? And so I thank God that he gave me an opportunity to confront the truth that I was preaching. I heard what you were saying and what the lady was saying. And again, I just think that maybe it may be my delivery, but the people that are close to me know, like, I've never wanted to be condescending. If I rebuke somebody, it was through the leading of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't like, I'm better than you. Let me use this pulpit to make my, no, it was never that. You know what I mean? If I found out my wife was dealing with something like this, I would want us to reconcile if she wanted to. But again, the fruit of repentance is actions, not words.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy you talked about repentance because, like I said, we are going into Easter right now. We're going into Lent. Right now we're in a season of Lent and we're going into Easter. So what did repentance look like for you?
Jesus, man. Grief. Mm. Grief. Loss. Sacrifice. And, you know, that's why I'm doing this one-man show. Good grief. You know, this is my second one-man show.
So tell us about the first one and then tell us about where we are with the second one.
Yeah,
what is the one-man show?
So the first, I wanted to be able to tell my story. I wanted to be able to tell my journey in a uncut, raw, transparent way that probably would not be well received in the church. It's hard to deal with complex situations, complex subjects, and subjects that require nuance in the church. The church is very black and white. You were wrong or you were right. They never give room for nuance. And hey, there was repentance and there was therapy and there was all of these different kind of things. And so I wanted to have the opportunity to tell my story. So January of 2025, I did my first one-man show that was called My Whole Truth, a story of how I almost lost everything. And in that particular one-man show, I dealt with the exposure. I dealt with the infidelity. I dealt with the trauma. I dealt with the hurt. I dealt with all of that. Of this situation. Yeah, of this situation. My first one-man show was like unapologetically raw dealing with this situation.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because it was—
Wait, hold on.
I heard my spouse. Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What?
Wait.
Talk to me.
So after everything with your wife and dealing with everything with your wife,
mm-hmm.
You made a show about it.
I did a one-man show about it, yeah.
I didn't know that's what the one-man show was about.
Hear me, this
was
a part.
She was okay with it?
I would not have done it if she was not okay with it. I don't think that she was in a place mentally and emotionally that she could sit there and hear me say all the stuff that I said. So even though I went over some of it with her, she didn't come to the show.
Yeah, mind blown.
Even people that didn't know the story felt like, hey, I got something to talk about. So I think that even as the body of Christ, this is one thing that I found out. We know how to expose.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how to restore. We know how to see the sin. We have absolutely no idea how to deal with the sin. So for me as a pastor, you have to understand how grateful I feel that I now have leaders and I now have a church that don't just know how to call out the problem. We now have systems and processes to restore people and see them heal and to see them deliver. And I don't think that we would have ever had that unless I had went through what I went through.
So let's talk about restorations.
Yeah.
Seeing as though, like I said, we're in the season of Lent, because even restoration in regards to marriages, people who are dealing with infidelity in their marriage, what would you say is the number one thing on how to restore that marriage? What would be your advice?
Admission. Admission.
And then
confess your sins one to another that ye may be healed. What a lot of people don't know about my situation is that there were pastors that knew about what I was dealing with. Like when I first started dealing with this, I didn't deal with this and try to hide it. We had pastors intervene. I'm talking about.
Did your wife know previous?
No. Of course, I think she saw signs, right? I think she saw signs. You know, when everything came out, you know, she said, you know, I thought about that. I had, you know, my doubts. I had my curiosity. But there was no hardcore evidence. No, there was no hardcore evidence. And that was where I made a lot of mistakes. But I think that my greatest mistake, knowing who my wife is and knowing her integrity, her love for God, I could have told my wife. And I was too afraid. I did not have the courage. I was not man enough to just be honest, to look my wife in the face and say, babe, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm struggling with. Or this is what I did. If I would have done that, whether my wife would have chose to stay, rebuke me or whatever, I know she would have did the right thing. I know that she would have corrected me, rebuked me, loved me, whether it was from a distance or close. I could have told my wife. I could have told her. And that's one of my greatest regrets is that the closeness we have now, I could have had years ago if I had the courage to tell my wife. I want to make sure that people understand that I'm not blaming anybody.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, I gave people the fuel to the fire. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I am the one that stepped out on my marriage. Mm-hmm. I am the one that sinned against God. Right. Mm-hmm. But my wife found out because the girl that I was involved with told a friend in confidence. That friend went to the church. That friend ended up leaving the church disgruntledly. Like she left, she was angry, she was upset, whatever the case may be. When she left, she started telling people, not in the church, but outside the church. But they were people that used to be in our church, right? And so they start talking to people inside our church. Have you heard this? Have you heard this? Have you heard this? I am grateful that regardless of how broken I was, I take my assignment as an apostle seriously. Even though I was not transparent and I wasn't honest, I still had people around me that were the real deal. And when the information ended up getting to our head prophet, the prophet of the house, she called me to the carpet. Yeah, she called a meeting with everybody involved and said, I want to know the truth. And I'm thinking, okay, she don't have any information. Let me just try to skate around this. Let me see if I can maybe wiggle my way out of this. But no, when we got on the call, when we got on the meeting, my head prophet, who did a phenomenal job, who was faithful to her assignment, she loved her God, she loved our church, and she loved me enough to say, this is what I know. Is this true? And at that particular point, I had no choice but to be honest and to confess in front of my wife, in front of other parties, right? We were all there together.
So she found out when everybody else...
She found out when everybody else found out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That hurts so bad.
Yeah. But hear me. If I was in front of the church, people wouldn't care. They wouldn't let me stop and say, let me go take care of my wife and then deal with this. I want to know the truth. That's what the church people are saying. I don't care. I don't care about your fact. I don't care. I want to know the truth. And so, yeah, at that moment, I was honest. Yeah, I told him everything from the beginning to the end. I told him everything. Yeah.
Do you feel as though if the lady did not tell her friend and her friend bring it to the church, mm-hmm. do you feel as though you would have come clean and eventually have been honest? Or do you feel like God had to expose it in order for you to grow and pull into a point of repentance and restoration?
The world of what ifs have many planets. So I think obviously it had to be done this way because that's the way God did it. Again, I'm a loyalist mm-hmm. and dealing with an addictive personality. I can't say that if this didn't happen like this, mm-hmm. that I would have came clean. I can't say that. Now, I will say that I was actively trying to move past it, mm-hmm. right? Like when everything came out, our brain was already in the next season. We already knew this was wrong. We don't want to do this. So when it came out, it was a relief, like, huh, God, now we can move on with our life. Now we can do something else. Now we can get healed. But no, I'm not going to sit here and say that I would have did the right thing or anything like that. No, I'm not necessarily sure on that. But I'm grateful that the Lord did expose it the way that he did.
How did you reconcile that? And what advice would you give to people who are really trying to reconcile? I know you said the first thing is admission. But after that, what happens?
You got to get help. Mm-hmm. Right. Whether it's an addiction, psychological, emotional, you got to get help. And I think that's one of the things that hurt me for so long is that I thought I could manage it. I thought I could deal with it by myself. But that's why I had pastors. And I have great pastors, but I didn't utilize them. Right. Like I wasn't honest with them about this particular issue. Yeah, I may have shared stuff about money, fear, insecurity, but this particular issue, I wasn't transparent about that. And so it was the admission, but you got to get help, because if you could deal with it by yourself, you would have already dealt with it. If I could have dealt with it by myself, I wouldn't have been in the situation. I wouldn't be in this situation. And so I had to get help from my spiritual leaders. I had to get help from peers, from people that had been through it, you know? And again, I know the church, many times when we see failure, we like to throw people away, but there are people uniquely called and anointed to walk you through situations because they've survived those situations. And so I had to find people that had dealt with the same thing I had dealt with, and they were on the other side of it, submit to wise counsel, be accountable to them about my heart, about my anger, about my feelings of abandonment, rejection, my marriage. And then I had to do real therapy and real counseling. I had to do biblical therapy and biblical counseling, but I had to actually go to a therapist. Me and my wife went to a therapist. So one of her prerequisites, when you ask, like, you know, what made her stay, she said, you have to get counseling. If you don't get counseling, I'm not staying. I signed up the same day. And I've been doing counseling ever since. And so I think that even pastors have to know, yeah, you can have a prayer life, you can have an altar, you can go through deliverance, but sometimes you do need to understand the inner workings of your psychology, the trauma, and how it's expressing itself through you as an adult. And I had to go do that. And so it was one of the best decisions that I ever made. And that's something that I talk about even in my one-man show. You know what I mean? Because going through therapy, I had to shed parts of me, give up habits, give up friendships, right? Give up perspectives and ideologies that I had held, that compartmentalism that I talked about, the feeling that I can be great over here and struggle over here and God is okay. I had to like sacrifice that and deal with ideological norms that I had really acquiesced to. And so it was a hard journey, and it's still a journey. It's just like working out. When you know you got diabetes or you're prone to being overweight, it's not like, oh, I went to the gym, I got my body back and I'm good. No, it's an everyday journey of me saying, Lord, I want to be the man you call me to be. Stand broken and repentant in his presence. And that's what I did. I pray that she sees that. You know what I mean?